Robert Liu. He's going to speak to us on counting injury deaths, underlying versus multiple cause of death mortality data. Dr. Liu is a professor of public health at National Cheng Kung University in Taiwan. His research interests include injury epidemiology, social epidemiology, and improvement of the quality of cause of death mortality. He's interested in increasing the usefulness of multiple causes of death mortality in the U.S. and in Taiwan. In this presentation, he's going to attempt to explore the use of multiple cause of death mortality in counting injury deaths.
Thank you very much. I declare I have no conflict of interest in this presentation. And I also have to apologize that I changed a little bit of the topic, because I added the comparison of the two countries. And why we have interest in comparing the two countries, because in Taiwan we use the same automatic system in selecting the cause of death as the U.S. 10 years ago. So we keep on doing a comparison between the two countries to see whether it's the difference derived from the system or the real difference. So in I think I'm sure that most of the audience in this room agree that counting injury deaths is very important for injury prevention and control. However, I'm not very sure that your experience in counting injury deaths, so I need some of the survey. So did you ever quote the injury mortality data in your writing? Okay. So. Did you ever analyze the mortality data? Also many of them, of you. So did you ever use the multiple cause of death data? Oh, still many. And did you ever see a death certificate? Wow. And also issue a death certificate. Okay, one. So we have a very high level of audience here. So this is the U.S. Standard death certificate, and the most relevant part in this presentation is about the cause of death section. So according to the WHO, the ICD, the cause of death statistics in most of the country are tabulated according to the underlying cause of death, which is defined as the disease or injury which initiated the trend of event leading to direct to death, or the circumstance of the accident or violence which produced the fatal injury. I give one scenario, and this example is from the handbook of NCHS. The cerebral contusion is due to the fractured scar, and then due to the from the impact to head, and because of the collision of two motor vehicles. There is also a part two, that is a significant condition contributing to death, but not resulting in the underlying cause given in part one. So in the right side, they have an interval, approximate interval of between the occurrence of the event to death. So almost in this case, it's almost instantaneously of all the events. So the underlying cause of death is the motor vehicle crash. So in the second scenario is a more complicated one, that is pulmonary emboli because of the femoral leg fracture and because of the fall from the ladder. And that is also because of the epileptic seizure. And this epilepsy, probably due to the complication of TBI, or motor vehicle crash, 2 years ago. So in this case, which underlying cause of death you think is? So according to the automatic system, it will be the epilepsy. So this case will not be counted as injury death when we count the injury mortality. So the current crier criticized the use of narrow definition, that is the underlying cause of death, in counting injury death and propose a broader definition of injury death as one in which the injury resulted in premature death, and argue that if there were several factors contributing to death, intervention in any one of the contributing factors other than the underlying cause of death could also have prevented the premature death. So in scenario two, this the trend of the events like this, and if we can detect the pulmonary emboli earlier, then we can prevent this premature death. And if we have good care when the bedridden of the femoral fracture, so maybe there will not be a pulmonary emboli. Also, if we if the person have a good protection or exercise, maybe he will not have, he or she will not have the femoral fracture. Also, if the patient had the regular medication, maybe the seizure will not occur. And also, if we have a good treatment after the TBI, maybe the epilepsy can be avoided. So in this case, according to the broader definition proposed by Cryer, this case should be counted as injury death. So my research question is, what's the discrepancy in the counting injury death between those according to the narrow definition and those according to the broader definition, and by external cause of injury? And what kind of injury, external cause of injury had the largest magnitude of the discrepancy between the two definitions? And also, I'm interested about what's the different profile between the two countries. So the source is multiple causes of death, data of Taiwan and the U.S. And the narrow definition was the traditional underlying cause of death, and broad definition is according to the mention of this external cause of death. So the discrepancy was measured by the underlying time, this ratio. So the higher the UM ratio, the smaller the discrepancy. Means the two counts are very similar. So this is the result, the different kind of external cause. So in transport, the road traffic accident, or the suicide and the violence, the two definition, the count between the two definitions are very similar. They have very high UM proportion. However, for the suffocation and the complication of medical or surgical care is very low, because many of these external causes will not be selected as the underlying cause of death in both countries. And for drowning in Taiwan, the proportion is low, relatively low than those in the U.S. And this is a force. The ratio is low in the U.S. but high in Taiwan. It means in Taiwan, once the four was mentioned, reported on the death certificate, it will be selected as the underlying cause of death. However, in the U.S., it's only 4/5 of the deaths mentioned. Four will be selected as the underlying cause of death. So the summary of the result that discrepancy was both small in two countries for transport accident and intentional suicide self-harm, and both large for the suffocation and the complication of medical and surgical care. And the magnitude of the discrepancy that was small in Taiwan and large in the U.S. for the force, and high in Taiwan and small in the U.S. for drowning. So possible explanation of the inconsistency between the country, because in Taiwan we have more detail analyzed the relative position, how the external cause of injury reported in part one or part two. We found that in Taiwan most of the four was reported in part one. However, in the U.S. the proportion higher in Taiwan. So it's naturally that fall be selected as the underlying cause of death. And with regard to the suffocation, because in Taiwan, fewer doctors write the medical conditions such as stroke, Alzheimer disease or Parkinson's disease, which have a high risk of fall or choking. Compared with the U.S. Certifier. So we cannot say that it is just a certification behavior. It possible because the difference in the circuit terms result in different pattern of injury mechanism, and then the difference in the reporting pattern. So there are some limitations. We still don't know what's the difference between the underreporting between Taiwan and the U.S. and no other source to verify this underreporting or more information about the causal relationship between those medical condition and injury. Also, although we use the same automating system, however, there's still many rejection, and we need manual code. And we found that's the one of the problems through this study. We found that in the Taiwan, we didn't follow the multiple code coding as those in the U.S. in the complication of medical and surgical care, because they have emphasis. We didn't put that, so that's why they have a huge difference in selecting the underlying cause of death. Also, maybe in the future study, we need to know more about the contextual information about the circumstance of the injury mechanism. So the conclusion, at least I think we can propose that discrepancy in counting injury deaths according to the two definitions vary by external cause of injury as well as between country. And for some external cause of injury with a high discrepancy between two definitions, it is recommended to present the number of injury deaths based on two definitions. Thank you very much.
We'll take questions with Dr. Liu, and also I wanted to ask the other speakers to come back up so that we can take questions from them after we take a question for Dr. Liu.
I think that if we can present both, I think can open the black box. Because we can also present the comorbidity, mentioned on the death certificate. I think that can let the reader to judge which kind of data they want to use. It's really a question.
Do you have a comment about all mention or any mention? We've done some work where we looked at any mention to sort of get away from the bias of some of the direct underlying cause.
So we use the any mention in counting multiple causes of death, yeah.
Okay, we'll take questions. We've seen some very interesting presentations here and across a variety of modeling from abstract, in the abstract sense, to some of the diffusion modeling that we, and growth curve analysis, some issues in data and counting of injury deaths. We always think of injury deaths as being quite concrete, but we saw that they really, there's a lot of variability. So we'll take questions for any of the five presenters. Dawn?
Yeah, that's a good question. So I think what we had, do you want me to use the microphone? Or
just go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, great. So that was an issue. We tried to find the most current data to de-age standardize. The problem was that we couldn't find it for enough countries. We could find some pretty recent data from South Africa in particular, India, Nigeria, but unfortunately, applying that one country to all countries in that age bracket, in that income bracket, was creating more error than using older data that was more specific by country. So yes, we are losing something, but we felt that it was an adequate trade-off. The other thing is, in terms of the ratios between injuries and deaths, the proportion of by age group, we felt that particularly in low and middle income countries from 1990 till now, there has been some change in terms of hospital infrastructure and things like that, but in terms of the quality of the vehicles, quality of the roads, particularly in the lowest income countries where we're most concerned about looking at these numbers, there hasn't been a significant change from at least anecdotal evidence and from some of the literature we looked at in terms of the quality of the vehicles that are being used and the roads. So we felt that although there has been some in high income countries since 1990, the change hasn't been terribly significant in terms of the vehicle safety. So we certainly are losing something there, but I think that the level was not one that we were terribly concerned that we were skewing our numbers dramatically in that regard.
I have a question for Dr. Kiernan as well.
Yep.
Are there any plans to validate your model using known information, such as you get from looking at the data in the U.S. and looking at testing your model?
Yeah, exactly. So what we did, actually, the ratio of road traffic injuries to road traffic death rates, a lot of the numbers that we got for that we implemented in our model, included studies from the U.S. Sweden was fantastic at finding really good numbers for high-income countries. We had great numbers from some smaller communities in India, for example, and Rwanda. We tried to incorporate those into the model rather than validate them afterwards to have the model be more specific using those numbers. I think the next step will be going to a specific location. For example, I was fortunate enough to be involved in helping develop the surgical department models for the Mirabelais Hospital that just opened down in Haiti. And it's hoping, the goal, I think, of that hospital is to have the entire volume of femur fractures come through there eventually. So to apply our model and to look at maybe if we're seeing those same sort of numbers or something close to them, that would be an interesting validation that I think would be really cool to do. That's more prospective, and I think that would be more validating than looking at more retrospective.
I think it would be very helpful to validate it in a data set that you didn't use to develop the model.
Yeah, true.
Other questions?